Last week, oh, that was loud, wasn't it? Last week, we looked at what it means to be blessed. And way back, we saw how in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, Abraham was given this promise by the Lord. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And this promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, through whom all people can be blessed. So when we believe in God our Father through Jesus, we are blessed. We're blessed in all sorts of ways. We know God's love. We know God's transforming power. We know God's freedom through forgiveness. We know all this and more through the redeeming work of Christ on the cross. We are blessed. And that is, in many ways, an end in itself, because it's great to be blessed, isn't it? Amen. Good. But it's also a means to an end, for we are not to keep it to ourselves. We are blessed to be a blessing. So there you are. That's last week's sermon, only much more succinctly. At our church weekend last October, I shared an acronym. The acronym is following the letters of the word BLESS, B-L-E-S-S, just in case you can't spell it. And I don't know about you, I find such things useful anyway. They help me remember, that's their purpose. And I hope you do too. And it's a way of helping us to think through over these coming weeks and beyond, I hope, how we might be a blessing to those around us. So in this acronym, and those on the church weekend may possibly spot the subtle change here to the acronym. It comes in the B, by the way, just in case you wonder. B stands for begin with prayer. L, listen to bless. E, eat to bless. I like that one. S, serve to bless. And finally, the second S, stories to bless. And so today we're looking at the first of those, which is begin with prayer. And I believe that there are three things it's essential for us to do if we are to be a blessing. Pray. We need to begin with prayer. We need to continue in prayer. We need to keep on keeping on with prayer, which is the same, of course, as point number two, continuing in prayer. But you get the drift of that, I hope. Prayer needs to be part and parcel of what we do as we seek to bless others. At the start of his ministry, Jesus is baptized, not because he is sinful and needs to be, but to fulfill all righteousness, he says. And the first thing he does, having been baptized, as he stands in the River Jordan, is to pray. We don't know what he prays, but my guess from what we know of Jesus and his life and his subsequent praying is that he asks that the Father's kingdom come and the Father's will be done in him, in Jesus. And three things happen as Jesus prays at that moment. We're told that heaven is opened. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove on Jesus, and a voice from heaven, which must be the voice of Father God, says, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Now, if we pray in the name of Jesus, I believe there are parallels between our prayer and that of Jesus. Might heaven be opened to us as we pray, and the Father's will be done through us when we pray. Might the Holy Spirit fall on us as we pray. Might we also be reminded as we pray that we are God's sons and daughters, loved by Father God, pleasing to him. And the answers to those questions are yes, yes, and yes. Now, we might think that if Jesus is Son of God and one with God, he shouldn't need to pray. Does he not have instant communication with Father God? And in the in the divine trinity of God, that is perhaps true, although we might argue that the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involves constant communion, which we would call prayer. But Jesus, the Son, has taken on human form and human limitations. He needs to pray as he begins his ministry. And having done so at his baptism, first of all, although I'm sure he prayed before that, just in case you're wondering, but beyond his baptism, he goes out into the desert to fast and to pray some more and be tempted and tested by the devil. Has anyone here never been tempted to do things we ought not to do? See, if you put your hand up, I'd know that you'd fail just there. We all are tempted, including Jesus, who Hebrews 4:15 says has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet, says the writer of the Hebrews, he did not sin. How does Jesus manage that? Well, I think he manages it by knowing the Father and knowing the Scriptures. And from here, we find Jesus returning to Galilee in the power of the Spirit and starting to bring the blessings of God to the people around him. And it all begins with prayer. And if Jesus, God the Son, needs to pray as he blesses the world, surely we do too, don't we? So how are we going to pray? How are we going to do it? Three very simple points, really, I want to bring to you, but hopefully that also helps make them memorable. And the first step, I think, is simply to bless God, to bless God. For the prayer times at our Renew Cafe, we usually use Psalm 103 as a framework as we gather on Saturday mornings. And this comes usually at about 11 o'clock. And using Psalm 103, in case you don't remember it, it starts off saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Can we really bless God? Can we really bless God? Blessing someone, doesn't that carry the implication that we give them something that they didn't already have? Doesn't God have everything, we might ask? Well, perhaps everything but our praise. And that, I think, opens up the meaning of what it means to bless God here. See, with the free will allowed to us by God, he only has our blessing, our praise, if we choose to give it. And God wants us to choose to give it. He desires our worship. He delights in our worship. I hope that he has delighted in our worship here this morning. And yet, even as we bless God, we become conscious that we can only bless God because of the blessings that he gives to us. Here's a challenge to you. Take a look at Luke. If you're Southern, take a look at Luke. Doesn't work quite so well there, does it? But take a look at Luke. Check out all the references. Have a read through Luke. Check out all the references to Jesus praying. You'll find him making time to pray alone, often, not least before choosing his disciples. You find him taking time with his disciples, teaching them about prayer and modeling it for them. In Luke 11, verse 1, it says that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name.'" And he teaches them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, it's put slightly differently, but the sense is still the same. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And this this Lord's Prayer and this phrase of the Lord's Prayer can both be a prayer that we pray and a model for our praying. What do we do when we pray, Our Father in heaven? Well, we bless God. That's exactly what it's saying, isn't it? And since Jesus is teaching us to pray, we can assume he is telling us to start as he starts. He blesses God the Father. So that's point number one, bless God. But the second thing, I think, as we come to pray, is that we pray to be blessed by God. Do you know, in one sense, we don't even have to pray to be blessed by God. Think about it. We already are, aren't we? Yeah. People without faith are blessed by God, blessed by the wonders of creation, blessed by the love of family and friends, blessed by music and the arts and all sorts of other things. But the difference is they just don't experience it as God's blessings, but still blessed by it. But we can experience it as God's blessings because we know God. And as we bless God by giving him thanks and praise, we find that God blesses us. I'm more than grateful to Jeff for leading our service this morning, and Katie leading us in prayer later on. From songs I'd chosen, it's been a sad week, as you know, for Wendy and me and our family as her dad passed away on Wednesday. And as I was choosing songs on Thursday, or trying to, because I kind of changed them a bit on Friday, but I found myself just blessing God for this man of faith who meant and still means so much to us. And in singing songs of praise on my own at home, kind of playing through some of the songs that we've had this morning and will have, I found the Lord blessing me and lifting me. And invariably, God does that, doesn't he? When we lift up our voices in praise to him, or our prayers in praise to him, he lifts us, he blesses us. So invariably, I think that if we seek to bless God, he will bless us. And yet, we should also seek God's blessing by praying for it. Isn't that what Jesus does as he goes on in the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if God's kingdom comes and his will is done on earth, won't that bless me and bless you? I think it will. What we can often mean as we pray that prayer, and others like it, is your kingdom come, my will be done. It's often the way, isn't it? We want God to do what we say, what we ask, even though we might ask for the wrong things. What we often, in effect, are saying is, Lord, bless what I'm doing. But could we turn it round and say, Lord, can I do what you are blessing? Could we do that in our church? You know, often we can be tempted to start things up and pray, Lord, bless what we're doing, without actually looking to see what God is already blessing and how we might do that with him. And I think that as we do that, and in giving us this phrase, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus is calling us to align our will with that of our Father God. And the more we can do that, the more we will know and be God's blessing on earth. Some of you may have seen the film Shadowlands. It's quite old now. It's a film that's worth watching. It was one that was on when I was training for ministry in Oxford. So because it was kind of based in and around Oxford and relating to C.S. Lewis, we went to see it, of course, Wendy and me. And in the film, it tells the story of C.S. Lewis as he meets and marries and falls in love with Joy Gresham. And yes, it is in that order, meets, marries, falls in love. You need to watch the film, really. And sadly, as the film goes on, tells the story of how she contracts a terminal illness. And in the film, one of Lewis's academic colleagues consoles him with the thought that if Lewis prays, his God may change things. And Lewis responds, I don't pray because it changes God, but because it changes me. I found great challenge in that, don't you? Maybe we can discuss in our life groups, those of us who are in them, whether by prayer we can get God to change his mind. But what we can say is that God uses prayer to change us, to change me, to change you. And then God uses us to change our world, his world. We are blessed to bless a world in pieces. We are changed to be the change that he promised. So we can bless God in prayer, but we can be blessed by God as we worship him and as we ask for his blessing. But the third thing that I want to say is that we should pray that we might bless the world and others. Did you know that God has chosen you to be a blessing? Did you know that? Well, you should do from what I mentioned about Abraham from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and how that's fulfilled in Jesus. But actually, Jesus has specifically chosen you to be a blessing. In our reading from Luke chapter 6, he spends all night praying on a mountainside. And in the morning, he chooses his inner circle of disciples to be with him. Interestingly, it also mentions there are other disciples beyond the 12 that he chose on that occasion. So we can tell it was a bigger circle, and these 12 disciples had a specific role, really, to be with Jesus as he traveled around Judea and Galilee, going about his ministry, bringing the kingdom of God. But then in John 17, if you read that too, he prays for all disciples, all that the Father will give him, not just then, but for all ages. And in John 20, verse 21, he says to his disciples, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, from those various readings, we can surmise that Jesus chooses us. He prays for us. He sends us. He equips us with the Holy Spirit to be a blessing. Here's a thought. What if you were to begin the day by blessing God? I know straight away some of you thinking, but I'm not a morning person. And I can almost tell which ones of you are saying that. Oh, I'm not a morning person. Well, hear me out. See, if in blessing God we find that we are blessed, would that not give a lift to you at the start of the day? Would it not do that? I know you know this, because I've mentioned it quite a few times, I should think, that I go out and do a lot of walking. And actually, Sundays, what a beautiful morning today. What a gift from God, wasn't it? So I had a little bit of time just to do a quick half-hour circuit of the Lace Hill Estate. And I thought, you know, I'm preaching about this later. I better practice what I preach as I walk around here. So I just went around blessing God and enjoying Father's presence and asking for his blessing and asking that I might be a blessing to you and to others. It is a great way to start the day. And as we bless God and as we find we are blessed, that can lead us to ask, Lord, where do you want me to be a blessing today? Who do you want me to bless? Maybe you'll listen to a praise song and join in wherever you are, at home, in the car, on the way to work, walking the dog. Maybe you'll pray the Lord's Prayer or use it as a guide to your prayers. Ask that God will also help you align your will with his, that his kingdom may come and his will be done in you and in his world. And pray for God's blessing on your family, your friends, your colleagues, the person that serves you in the checkout at Tesco's or wherever it is. Pray for anyone and everyone. Pray for the world with which God has blessed us, that humanity has harmed so much. Pray around justice and environmental issues and politics, etc. So I think when we pray for people and situations, I mean, it can seem so inadequate, can't it, really? You can think, what difference does it really make? We can be tempted to give up when nothing happens. But to pray regularly for people and things builds our empathy with those people and things. Corrie ten Boom said, "We never know how God will answer our prayers, but we can expect that God will get us involved in his plan for the answer." That is true, isn't it? We never know. Prayer alone is part of the answer, but sometimes some of us will be challenged to do more, to be involved, to be the actual blessing that people need. Someone has said that prayer is like breathing. We breathe in God as we pray and as we bless him. We breathe out God as we pray his blessing on our neighbors and our world. So, to sum up, begin the day in prayer if you can. Continue with prayer through the day, and maybe even end the day with prayer, considering where you have seen the Lord at work in blessing others. And turn that back to praise. Three things then to remember. Not difficult, is it? Bless God. Be blessed by God. And be a blessing for God.